Amen and amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Read that with me, if you would, and we're going to throw that on a screen. 1, 2, 3. I want to look at this again. Like I said, when we first get saved, the Bible refers to us as being babies and makes an example here for us to make a connection for growth. It's important that we understand that the ultimate goal here is God wants you to grow. We talked about that last week. God is into growth, increase, acquisition. God wants you. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. And you might be at a great place, hallelujah. But God still wants you to go to the next level. There's always the next season. You know how you know when there's not a next season for you? When you're in heaven. When it's all done, if you've finished it, I have completed my race and you have finished your course, now it's time for you to go to eternity and receive your reward in heaven. But if you're still on this earth, there is a next level, next season for you. Now, if you're dealing with a challenge in life, that's always good news. But sometimes if we're doing well, we start feeling comfortable. We can become rested in the reward that we have. And if we're not careful, the blessing of heaven can become a curse because we stop growing, we stop looking, we stop depending on Him. And so God wants us to grow. Say, God wants me to grow.
God wants me to grow.
Here, the scripture again, as newborn babies or babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Another translation, New Living, says it this way in the context of growing. It says, and I'm going to reverse the end and work my way back to the beginning. 1 Peter 2, to the latter part in New Living says, God wants you to grow that you may experience into a full experience of salvation. Grow into a full experience. I'm going to work you a little bit. Say a full experience.
Full experience.
Shout full experience.
Full experience.
That tells me, if that's true, and I believe the word is true, then when I get saved, I must not have a full experience yet. And what we have to understand as Christians is when we get saved, our spirit man is saved. When you accepted Jesus into your heart, your hair didn't change, your clothes didn't change, and your mind still had to be renewed. That's why Romans 12, 2 tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your spirit person is changed. You are a new creation in Christ, the Bible says. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So when you're born again, your spirit person's born again. You're a three-part person. You are spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. God, when He purchased you through the blood of Jesus, and the Bible says that we're not, and again, challenge everything I say in your own time. It'll help you grow. The Bible says that we are not purchased or redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So it is literally a financial transaction. God purchased you by the blood of Jesus. You do not belong to yourself. He is not only your Savior, He is your Lord. And that doesn't bring us into bondage, that brings us into freedom and liberty. Because when we obey Him, we have all that He has available to us.
Amen.
And so the full experience means that, hey, wait a minute, I'm saved, my spirit man is saved, but you know what? Your mind and thoughts aren't always saved, are they?
Amen.
Don't get quiet on me, church. That's why we have to pull down strongholds. The Bible says, cast down imaginations and reasonings and any high thing that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God in Christ Jesus. Because your spirit person is saved, but that mind of yours, sometimes it's got a will of its own.
Right.
Sometimes it's thinking things and you're like, ooh, that's not right. Sometimes it's wanting you to say things and you know that's not right.
Right.
You know later because you repent, have to repent, 1 John 1:9. Why is that the case? Because the mind has to be renewed. It doesn't mean you're a good person or a bad person. It means you're a real person. Kenneth Hagin Sr. many years ago said, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. So you can't keep thoughts from hitting your mind, but you can decide what you do with the thought that crosses your mind. If it's a thought of anger, if it's a thought of hate, if it's a thought of lust, if it's thought of what jealousy, whatever it might be, if it's a thought of offense, you can choose how you handle that.
Right.
God wants us to grow into the full experience of salvation.
Amen.
On this side of eternity, on this side of eternity. We can begin to experience. And so what does he want you to do? Renew your mind. Get it transformed. Transform it by the reading of the Word. Spend time in the Word. And what does it do? It begins to change the way you see yourself in the world. Not from a negative and now you're less. No, you begin to see how important you are to God and how valuable you are to God and how that you don't have to lower yourself to fight with everybody.
Right.
Sometimes I think we miss huge rewards fighting over with small devils. Never let small thoughts and small people stop you from a big destiny. Some people don't need the devil. They blame the devil. Devil's over there going, wasn't me. I wasn't even there. I know I'm a liar, but I'm not even there. Why? Because their mind's not renewed.
Right.
And then your body. Your body has to be transfigured. So your mind's got to be transformed. Your body's got to be transfigured, which will happen at the rapture when we go to heaven. But God says here in his word again, grow into a full experience of salvation. Paul says it this way in Philippians, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The seed of God is on the inside of you, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2. The seed of God is, the nature of God is on the inside, and we have to work out this process of meditating on the Word and spending time in the Word and reading the Word renews our mind, but it's working out as we obey the Word. It's working out what God has done and begun that work on the inside of your spirit. Have you ever heard the verse, he which has begun a good work?
Yes.
Shall complete it. Well, it tells you there's a process here. There's a process here. And we do it by faith. Because the process of faith and patience works out who God is on the inside of you to affect the outside. So all of a sudden, and if you're struggling with an area on the outside of your life, maybe your thinking or your finances, your health, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. But I'm telling you, all of us, everybody here that's breathing, take a breath. Yeah, that's you too. So every one of us has room to grow. I always challenge you, if you ever find somebody who knows everything, smile and quietly take a step back, because knowledge will always reveal to you that there's more for you to learn. The smarter a person is, the more they're aware that there's a vast world of knowledge and there's more room to grow. When people think they have arrived, and start giving themselves 50 titles and expect people to kiss their ring and walk and bow to them, something's wrong.
Right.
Getting quiet here. 1 Peter 2, that you may grow into a full experience. So as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How do we grow? We're growing into the experience of salvation. How do we grow? By the word of God. How do we connect to it? By the desiring the sincere milk of the word. Now, the metaphor, the example being used here is obviously a baby and a nursing mom. And so I want you to notice something. Young Christians, you listening to me? You're not always going to have a desire for the scriptures. It didn't say desire the word. It said desire the milk of the word. Now some will take that, oh, that's just simple teachings. I'm going to take it a little farther. Because when a baby latches onto its nursing mother, it's not worrying about the connection. It's focused on the milk.
Right.
It's wanting something from it.
Right.
When you connect to the word, you have to come with the expectation. And here's what happens in the church world. We know the power of the word. If you've been saved for any length of time, you know the power of the word. But if we don't teach people how to make a connection of what they're wanting to draw from the word, they'll read the Bible, never get anything, and checking off their to-do list, and will pat themselves on the back and saying, I'm very disciplined. I read my Bible every day. And if there's no life coming to you, you're missing something. Well, Pastor, I think we need to teach people that it doesn't have to be a reward for us to do something. Well, you need to check your Bible, but because my Bible tells me that without faith, it's impossible to please him.
That's right.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a
rewarder.
Israel would take the law and wrap it up and soak it in honey. And they would give it to their little children, their babies that are teething. And they would make a connection as they chewed on that, that what they were holding was the law, the word of God. And they tasted the honey. And they made an emotional connection of the sweetness of the honey to the truth of the word. Religion will just give you the steps to do and not explain the process to be received. It didn't say desire the word. It said desire the sincere milk of the word that you can grow.
Yes.
There's a lot of people I know that have knowledge of the word, but no growth.
Right.
It's getting quiet. They can quote verses. They can tell you where things are at. They can. Oh, I've read the Bible every year. I read it once through the whole Bible every year. I read the whole Bible from beginning to end. I do it every year. Well, good for you. But if there's no growth in your life, something's missing.
That's right. That's right.
Because what is different in the relationship with God and religion, and I define religion as man's rules to get to God, man will tell you what to do without explaining the life behind it. And there's people who have information. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that the natural mind can't receive the things of God because they have to be discerned. There's people with a lot of head knowledge, information, but they have no revelation.
Right.
They know stuff, but there's no life. It hasn't freed them from anything. It doesn't, their prayers aren't being answered. There's no joy, there's no hope, there's no victory. Why? Because there's no life.
Come on, Pastor.
They talk words that are empty of power, words that lack presence, because they've learned to do the method and not understand the meaning. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you can grow. If you're spending time in the Word and your life looks the way it did 10 years ago, a year ago, something should be different.
Yes.
There should be growth. It could be in your attitude. It could be in your perspective. It could be the way you live. It could be what you have. It could be who you're reaching. It don't matter. There should be some growth in some area. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because the ultimate thing on this verse is that you can grow. People that come to church all the time and never grow, that should be your first red flag.
Yeah.
Oh, I read the Bible. Yeah, but is there life to you?
Come on.
Listen to me, future ministers. Listen to you. Listen to me, future fivefold pastors, evangelists, teachers. One of the things that helped me, that I learned from my dad that stuck with me, is don't, this advice, now, the rest of you can just put it off. It don't matter. But there's people in the house that are or currently will be or watching that are pastors and evangelists and fivefold ministry. Don't read the Bible as a tool of the trade. Don't look for sermons. Don't read your Bible to try to find a Bible story or a message to preach. It'll become the tool of the trade.
Yeah.
You don't want the Bible to become the tool of your trade.
Right.
I've been preaching for over 30 years. Throw me a topic, I can probably throw out something quick. I don't want it to be the tool of the trade, though. I don't read my Bible trying to improve my ability to preach. I read my Bible to draw life from it.
Yes.
It is the source of life from heaven.
Yes.
Now, we can go from milk to meat, which means deeper thoughts and also more meditation. But the reality is still, it's the end result is grow. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you can grow. John 6, verse 63. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, that they are spirit and they are life.
Yeah.
You don't just want to read just so you can mark it down. How long do I need to read? I'm telling you, read until when you start experiencing the presence of God and the life of God.
Yes.
Draw life. You need to go in, oh, I'm having such a hard day. Then go separate yourself, get alone, open the Bible. Don't start at Genesis. Start in the New Testament. Find a scripture that's actually specifically in your area and just begin to read it and read it again and speak it and pray it and confess and read it and feed your mind. Let it transform. What are you doing? I'm spending time in the Word. What am I doing? I'm trying to draw something from this Word. What am I drawing? I'm trying to draw the anointing of God. I'm trying to draw the presence of God. I'm trying to draw the life of God. If you're struggling, victory is in Jesus. If you're tormented, peace is in Jesus. Are you listening? Love is in Jesus. Are you listening to me? It comes out of the Word of God, the strength of God, the presence of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Holy Ghost. There are so many things. The list goes on and on. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. You quit. You don't need to run to everybody. Your first stop should be the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm going to get alone. And the doctor just gave me a bad report. But I'm going to get alone with 1 Peter 2:24. And I'm going to read it. And I'm going to meditate on it. And I'm going to get till I remember what we talked about before, that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hope is faith is a substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1. What am I doing? I'm going to change the climate of my on the inside of me. I'm not going to be a thermometer. I'm going to be a thermostat. I'm going to change the climate on the way I see it, the way I'm thinking, the way I'm experiencing it. What am I doing? I'm drawing life. Because if I'm struggling emotionally, it's like it's the spiritual equivalent of stomach pains. You know, when you get your stomach gets empty and your stomach growls? You got to tell me about it. Mine doesn't happen too often. But I know people. I've been sitting with people, and all of a sudden I'm like, what is that noise? And they're like, oh, I haven't eaten in a while. What is your demented problem? You haven't eaten in a while. What? Your stomach's so loud, it's growling so loud that I can't even hear myself think. What is, go get some food. I don't have that in my life. I don't know. I'm just blessed. I'm flourishing in the courts of God. Come on, somebody. You know how to know when you need God? When you don't feel like you want Him.
All right.
You're hungry. You want to know when you're empty and you need a meal? When you're feeling overwhelmed and stressed. You're feeling broken and hurt. When you feel the pains of the attacks of the enemy. We need to say, I need to get some of the word. I got to get into the word. Why? I'm not just going to read it so I say I'm a good person. I'm not going to read it so I can brag to people that I'm a good person. I'm going to read it because I'm drawing life. This book is alive. Jesus said, my words, that they are spirit and they are life. And I have been in the church world my whole life. I'm going to be 55 next month. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I've been around a lot of people. I have been around a lot of people that know the routine of church. They know how to act it. They know how to fake it till you make it. They know how to look at the part, and there's no substance to it. I've been around those people. I'm not interested in that. I want the real, and I want the real, I want the real. And I know that the Word of God, if you get into it and say, Lord, I'm going to draw near to you. And the Bible, James says, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. I'm telling you, get hungry for the things of God. And like a baby who's saying, hey, I want to make a connection. I need some milk. I need some nourishment. I need some food. I want to grow. All I know is something is hurting on the inside, and I know the solution is something I'm going to make from that connection. So I want that milk so I can, so I'm going to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Amen. That word life in the Greek is zoe, which is the God quality of life.
Yeah.
It's just not about you going through life. Notice it didn't say desire the milk of the Word. It said desire the sincere. The word sincere there means pure. It's what our food used to be before they started fixing it.
Right.
Or what we call processed. Now you have an ingredient label on everything, even an apple. What's the ingredients on an apple? Genetically modified. Coated with wax. I don't know the game, and I'm not in it, but you would think organic would be better, but sometimes I wonder if it's all the same, just different sticker.
Right.
But anyway, processed. A lot of Christians are living on processed spiritual food.
Wow.
The truths from the Word that are from somebody else. Am I helping anybody today?
Yeah.
That's why we have a culture around here. Thank you for the four of you. We're going to put you all together. I'm taking you to dinner. I don't know where we're going to find unprocessed food, but we're going to find it. I'm going to find me a cow out there that hasn't been... Steak. A lot of Christians, they live on processed truth. That means it's truth that's been modified by man.
Yes, indeed.
That word sincere literally means pure. Another way to say it is straight from the source.
Yeah.
You want to find a pure apple, go take it off a tree.
Right.
Get it directly from the source. This was a problem that Israel had, and it was a struggle for them because God told Moses, now's the time, go down and tell my people, I want them to come and know me better. Bring them to the mountain, and God went down, and the people, Moses probably thought in his mind, this is it, this is the moment. God's been working them, bringing them, we're getting ready to go into inheritance, but something greater, they're going to experience God. And the people said, we don't want to go. You go, Moses, and you tell us what God is saying. That's why I've developed a culture in here that I don't want you to take my word, anybody's word, for anything. Always, always challenge it for yourself. Because what you need that brings life, what you need that brings the anointing, the presence, ability, power of God, what you need from that word that will help you grow in any and every season and circumstance is the unadulterated, unprocessed truth of the word of God that you get out of connection.
Yes.
Stay with me. 1 John says it this way, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not, notice here, and I want to overemphasize it, and then I want to explain it, that you need not any man teach you. Wow. That's going to throw a few questions in your mind right now. I'm going to let you argue with yourself for a few seconds. That you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and no lie, and even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Notice what's being said here. This does not mean you don't need a teacher. So tomorrow when your child gets a hold of this message and brings that verse to you and says, see, God says, I don't need to go to school. That's not what it's saying. And that it's not saying that the purpose of the fivefold ministry is gone, because the fivefold ministry is in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So what is it saying? It's saying that the truth, the life, comes from the Holy Spirit revealing the word.
Amen.
Dude, why do I need a teacher? Why do I need a preacher? Why do I need an evangelist? Why do I need other people in my life? Why do I need to go to the Bible study? Because as you're hearing the word, faith, Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing. And you know what's happened as you're hearing the word? Have you ever had this happen? I think many of you have, that as you're hearing maybe me preach, somebody else preach, as you're hearing the word, all of a sudden something comes alive in your spirit and it begins to expand and goes deeper and becomes, what is it? That's the Holy Spirit taking what you heard in the natural and saying, I want to give it to you now in the impartation of your spirit. I want to give you revelation. Information can be taught. Revelation must be caught.
Yes, yes.
If you understand something with your mind, you can explain it, but you can't obtain it
right. Until
you catch the anointing and the life of it.
Yes.
When you get the life of it, when you get the anointing of it, when you get what comes out of the word that God has for you, all of a sudden it will change you. What causes someone to change drastically their life? What caused them to be free from addiction? What caused them to go from being angry to loving people? What causes a person? It's not because they disciplined it.
Right.
How do you take a person who's racist and make them love people? Oh, we just need a 10-step plan. You can have a 1,000-step plan. But some of that stuff, garbage, is rooted deep within the heart of the person. And that's where God works, because man works on the outside. God works on the inside. How does that change some? How can someone be so drastically, radically changed because they experience the life of the word by the Spirit of God in their heart? Do you need preachers? Yes. Do you need teachers? Yes. Because they're the ones communicating the word. But as it's going forth, you can be open. All right, Holy Spirit, make something alive to me. So when I walk out of here, I know that I received from heaven. And it might not even be something I said, but in the atmosphere of the anointing, in the atmosphere of the word, the Spirit of God can remind you of a scripture. And all of a sudden, it comes to life. I've had people come, Pastor, that was amazing. I love this verse. And I didn't even say that verse. I didn't say it. It's because they got in the atmosphere of God's presence. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brought, it's like I said it. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit making it alive to them. Do you see my point? That's what has hurt many young Christians in the church world. They thought, I just got to go to church. I got to read so many chapters a day. And they are going through the motion and have no life. And without the life, without the presence, there is no growth.
That's right.
As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Jesus said it, last verse, Jesus said it this way in John 15. Different metaphor, different example. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you could sin. But he said, without me, you cannot do what I've called you to do. Right. Without me, the life is in the Word by the Spirit of God. There, it's so intertwined. The life, when we read, draw the life out. It's like a branch connected to the vine. And when the branch is connected to the vine, guess what? All the life that's in the vine goes to the branch.
Yep.
What am I doing? When I'm spending time in the Word, I want to become more like Him in the character and image, the reflection of Jesus. I want His presence. I want His peace. I want His joy.
Yeah.
I want to look at some people saying, you know what I mean? I mean, Jesus set some people straight. He made demons cry out.
Yep.
They came running and falling on His feet and say, oh, please don't torment us. Come on now.
Right.
I want that kind of power. I want that kind of presence. I want that kind of peace. I want that kind of joy. I want that kind of love. I want that kind of security. I want that kind of stability. How do I get it? Desire the milk of the Word, the benefit of the life and the anointing. I'm going to spend time in your Word, Father God. And it's just not about what I'm reading, but it's who I'm connecting with. And I believe I receive your life, your presence. You know, that will cause you to read the Bible more because you won't look at your calendar if you should read. You'll look to the atmosphere of your life. Man, I need to spend some time in the Word. So-and-so started really getting on my nerves. That car that just cut me off on the highway kind of really ticked me off. I'm starting to get a little fleshy. I'm starting to get a little carnal again. It's just who we are. That's why you got to keep going back.
Amen.
And keep going back and drawing life. Why? Because you get hungry. And you got to draw more life. And then when you do it, guess what? You will grow. Say, I'm growing. And I love how the Word of God tells us, and Paul said to the church, one church, that we are so thankful because your faith grows exceedingly.
Yeah.
I'm not into this 1, 2, 3 step to get me. You know, these people want to lose a pound a month. I'm not interested in that. I look for those pound a day. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about?
Right.
I like moving fast.
Right.
I don't got this. In 12 years, you're going to be in shape. In 12 years, I probably won't even care about being in shape. I want my faith to grow exceedingly. Amen.
Amen.
How about you?
Yes.
Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking, no one moving around? Let me ask this question. Is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know for yourself that He's real and your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? Is He real to you today? In the way you process and the way you experience and the way you go through life, that you can know without a question, shadow, or doubt that He is real and that He is your Lord and Savior. If you don't know that, you can. Your Heavenly Father, God loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Some of you have tried the life of sin, and haven't you, hasn't it gotten old? Haven't you figured out that the devil doesn't play fair? That what he offers to you is a trinket of funny, and then he ends up and stacking upon your life condemnation, guilt, fear, shame. You don't need to live with that weight, that cloud over your life every day. You can have his peace. His strength is joy. You can know him. It's having that relationship with Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. That means give him an opportunity. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you do not know him, this is your moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as you focus on your life and focus on your heart. Maybe you've known him, and for whatever reason, you've allowed stuff to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right. This is your day. But I've tried this before, and I didn't stick with it. This is a brand new day. Today is the day of salvation. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you if you repent. Pray this prayer with me. If you want to know him, want to give your life to him, let this prayer come from your heart, from your mouth. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I invite you in to my heart and life to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, just so I can know who I was praying with, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you're here and you prayed that prayer and say, Pastor, that was for me, so I know who I was praying with, at the count of three, I just want to simply ask you to lift your hand and hold it up so I can see you. You can put it down. And then I'm going to pray, speak a blessing over your life according to the Word of God, that he'll give you supernatural strength on the inside by his Spirit, that you'll be strong in this world, not knocked around by every wind of crazy doctrine or by any tactic or pressure for temptation. We need supernatural strength. So if you prayed that prayer and say, Pastor, I'm not ashamed. I want you to know I prayed that prayer today. At the count of three, I want you to lift your hands. One, two, three. Who's I praying with? I see that hand. God bless you. I see that second hand. God bless you. I see that third hand. That fourth hand. God bless you. I see that fifth hand. God bless you. Sixth hand. I see that seventh hand. That eighth hand. God bless you. I see that ninth hand. God bless you. I see that tenth hand. I see that 11th hand. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the ones who have just accepted you that are in the family of God. I seal them with the precious blood of Jesus. And I thank you and I ask you to strengthen them by your Spirit in their inner person. By might, with might, with might. Anoint them with oil. And I thank you for victory in every area of their life. And I thank you, Father, I decree that they will be in heaven. That they will run their race. Fill it, fulfill it, and finish it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That's cool. Hallelujah.